Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Your Mom is a Check-In. This is kind of the spin-off podcast, because you know what people are always saying when they listen to our podcast is we want more of you just talking to each other.
That's what they say.
They always say that in all the comments. So honestly, this is, I think part of the ulterior motive is that I just want to spend time with Sandeep. And this is the only way I can nail them down. I'm like, hey, if I schedule it, if I involve a producer, a microphone, and a headset, I know he's more likely to show up. That's how I trap him. How to Trap a Co-Host by Milana Weintraub. That's my book. It's coming out this fall. Please get your early copy. So we are releasing this episode kind of late because we both had weird family things happen. My kid got injured in a way that it always feels like, oh, this is the thing that's gonna ruin him forever. And then you go to the hospital and they say, give him a Motrin and let us know how he's doing. And luckily he's okay and he's better and he's fine. But it does always feel life or death in the moment.
Then they're just like, oh yeah, it's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday because, and you're a hypochondriac. Got it.
Right. They're like, we just had a kid in with a javelin through his neck, so you're fine.
And he's going to make it.
Yeah, no, he's fine too. Yeah. In fact, that was kind of boring as well. They just always act like it's like completely no big deal. It's just so easy for, I guess, anybody in any expertise level to forget like what it feels like though as the non-expert to be like. Walking in, you know, it's like, just remember, it's, I guess it's the bedside manners part of it. It's like, just remember, this is new to us. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's like old hat for you. And in a way that is sort of comforting, but at the same time, it's like,
like a tiny expression of empathy would be like, I know we are your 20th of this, but this is my only kid.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. My dad used to have a joke when I would like want to go out. He was like, if I had 20 daughters, I would let you go, but I only have two.
It's more like having maybe it's more on me to have an appreciation for the doctors that do express empathy. Actually, I should like put it back on me because there are doctors that do that.
Yeah. Or maybe they're right for downplaying it. Like, we have a doctor in our local emergency room who is like, give him Tylenol. And I was like, oh, we already gave him Tylenol. And he's like, oh, okay, then don't. Like, we call him Dr. Dude because he just looks like a surfer who walked in and like Googled how to do this.
He might have
killed a doctor and put on his uniform 100%.
Put on a skin suit.
But no, he kept his original skin suit because he does look like a surfer dude in scrubs.
Got it.
But And so in the moment, I'm like, how dare you be so nonchalant about this? But then afterwards, I'm like, oh, he was right. Especially with some retrospect, you're like, yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter if I give him the Tylenol or not. And I'm sure that there are plenty of doctors who know when to take it really seriously when children are actually sick. And my mom was a nurse, so like I know that there's an element of this that requires them to be a little callous. Otherwise, they're taking it all home with them.
Yeah, and then my thing, I didn't want to move too fast off of you. Like, so my thing is on the other side of the generational coin. I have a parent that is going is just trying to get, you know, like every hospital, free hospital stay he possibly can. So basically my dad's been in and out of the hospital 4 times in the last few months. Yeah. And it's just been, it's just been a whirlwind. He's doing okay. Everybody, he's hanging in there, but he's like, yeah, he's trying to get like one of each of every major health scare thing you could possibly have.
Because at the end of it, he gets a chocolate sundae, actually.
He gets a bingo. Yeah, he wins bingo. He wins heart disease. Diabetes, stroke victim bingo. But like amazingly, I will say that he's, the guy's like a yoga master, and he's all about figuring out how to solve this stuff for his own body, using yoga and meditation as much as he can. I mean, he's also like, he's doing the Western medicine thing. He's not like totally forsaking that or anything, but I do think that like, if I gave you the list of things that he's survived, I feel like, I can't be like, hey, my dad will beat up your dad, but I can definitely say my dad will survive more strokes than your dad.
I don't want to be a part of this competition.
Like easily. Oh, he's got your dad cooked. I dare your dad to have as many strokes as mine has and still not, you know, somehow come out the other side, and not be, you know, paralyzed. Like all the symptoms that you would normally sort of, or you associate with the stroke, he's still kind of with it. And, you know, it's touch and go. And it's, we're in the high critical 90-day watch period right now. Just like every sneeze is something to, you know, we literally have like a group text that is just like popping off all the times, which is not anxiety inducing at all. So
how are you and your brothers dividing the responsibility?
I will say this. I really get having more than one kid.
Yeah.
For this reason alone, it is, I can't think of a life without them, you know, right now, because we are, feels like three legs to a stool. And if any one of us were also stricken with something or had to be like, I don't know how this would totally work, honestly, because like we're all kind of like covering for each other so that we can still somewhat have our lives as well. So I was saying, telling you before, like, I went to go visit dad and like help out with stuff. And part of it is just like, part of it's also, you have a couple jobs. You're like, your job is to like, you know, make sure he's okay and all that stuff, but also to protect him from himself. In the sense that like my dad doesn't want to take any medicine ever. He doesn't want to go to the hospital. He doesn't want to talk about symptoms when they happen. He doesn't want to, like, there's so many things he doesn't want to do. So you kind of like, you know, a FaceTime is not going to cut it. Like you kind of have to just be there and hang out with them.
Yeah.
And help him sort of process what's going on with everything. And it's been invaluable to be there, to just be able to show up. But yet I can't do that all the time. I was away for 8 days. That's the longest I've been away from my son. And so that was a strain on the other side. So to have brothers who can then go, okay, I'm going on, you know, the 11th when you get back. And, you know, it's just like, it seems like it was like, oh, we were meant to be three children. Otherwise, I don't know what we'd be doing right now.
So how does that affect your family planning?
My wife's pregnant with triplets.
Oh my God. I got so excited at the first part of that sentence.
Yeah. We just put three kids in our, we found three embryos that were fertilized and just,
give
us your first three. it's made me think a lot more about it, but I think I'm still in the fog of war, so to speak, of what's going down with my dad. So I'm less I'm less overtly thinking about that, but it's
doesn't it make you horny. Doesn't immediately make you horny.
It's hard to do the making baby part. When you're getting those damn text messages, it really kills the mood.
Yeah.
That group text.
That group text is a real baby buzz killer.
It's a real cock blocker. Yeah. It's a, yeah. But yeah, good times. Good times. It's pretty real. Feels like real times.
Yeah. Feels like that life.
I think I've been pretty lucky 44 years. And I think I'm now realizing now that though I've lost people that are important to me, I don't think I've ever quite experienced the grief that I'm likely to experience, because I'm already experiencing grief in a way that I've never experienced. And he's alive.
What are you feeling?
Yeah. Oh, man. There's several, obviously, it's multidimensional, but the thing that's sort of striking me the most is the somatic part of it.
What does that mean?
Like the physical in my body part that I'm actually feeling. And so best way I can describe it is an open scab that, you know, you don't realize is there until you like catch like a gust of wind or accidentally, you know, get a little water on it or something like that. And you're like, and it kind of, but it feels like it's in the center of my chest sitting behind my heart, and it's the size of a softball. And it it like kind of thrums the entire body. So that's been cool. And yeah, I haven't had, this is the closest thing to therapy I've had since the whole thing. Cause my therapist is of course on vacation, which I support. Go take care of your mental health, doc. The other piece of it that's really interesting to me is because I am a dad. So like there is this weird echo of everything that I'm experiencing that I then like immediately flip from his perspective, what he must be sort of experiencing with his sons there.
Yeah.
Or maybe controversially not experiencing, which then upsets me, you know, because he's like, because I'm like, how are you not able to sense that, you know, whatever it is. So like, it's just, it's like, a hall of mirrors, of like funhouse mirrors of like different ways in which you're sort of seeing the past, present, and future. And you as a son, you as a dad, pretty wild.
I mean, it's pretty much what this podcast is looking at this generational effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talking to moms about their moms, talking to dads about their sons.
No, you heard it in the Amy episode, right? Like when she's talking about, I mean, everything, but, you know, we joked about it, like her 6-year-old and her mom were like in the other room, right? Like that's how she was able to do the podcast.
Yeah.
But you could say, like there was that whole section about intrinsic motivation and whether or not you're concerned about your kid and like their perfectionism in school and stuff like that, and how she sees it, how she saw it in herself, how it was passed down, and then how she's seeing it passed down into her child. And
how she's trying to make his experience more about fun and less about climbing the ladder.
Right, right. Yeah, we're just trying to do just a touch better if we can.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I really do like this idea of a hall of mirrors. I think that's really powerful, Sandeep, because it does a little bit feel... I like this visual because it makes it almost feel like it doesn't matter. Like we are all repeating what the people before us did. We are all echoes of everyone that came before us. But we are applying a slight bit more consciousness to it, but really just slight. Like,
yeah, no, you're right. I think it's like a glacial change. So the other piece of this is I've been having a lot of all the like, hey, if you only got one chance to hang out with your dad, what would you say? You know, like all yes. those conversations. I'm trying yes. to have all of them, like we got the opportunity to, I had to drive him down from New Hampshire to the DC area very quickly to get into better care, to be around all of our family doctors, basically. Like when I say family doctors, I mean a bunch of family of ours that are Indian that are doctors, because that's how that works.
In DC, got it.
So in DC. So we're like driving down.
A
family of doctors, yes. we're driving down. Which is crazy to me. Ugh, I have a whole nother tangent about that because it's like, this is the best care is to have your own family be doctors. I mean, I just like the actual healthcare system and how it treats
yes.
everyone in the world yes. is just absolutely horrifying. Okay. That's,
I don't know if we can speak to the whole world, but yeah.
Oh yeah. The whole world that we live in here, I'd say. So
your whole world.
I had this like 12-hour drive with my parents, right? And so just like got into like literally everything you can think of, right? We're talking about like, I'm like, so dad, what are you hanging on for? Like uh-huh. what's still kind of like left on the bucket list? Like, what are you trying to accomplish in life? Like,
yeah.
And it's his answer to that was very rooted in Hindu scripture and what I'd call mythology, but what he'd call reality, and about like really about realizing God, or you know, like achieving samadhi, which is like the, or moksha, which is like the liberation from the cycle of life and death and rebirth, according to Hindu scripture. Throwing a lot at you, but like basically, he has a very specific prescribed thing that he wants to have happen, which when he describes it. Is both beautiful and hilarious. Like he talks about like how he wants like God to show up in this certain way that he's read about in scriptures. And it's like, and I want him to take every incarnation that I've ever read about and like show to, and so he wants this. I'm like, dad, you don't have to meditate under a tree for 15 hours a day. Like just try this one pizza topping and we will get you there. But it's like,
put peanut M&Ms in your popcorn?
Yeah, no, I mean like I meant mushrooms, but
got it.
I'm like, well, I'll get you there, dad, no problem, just have this brownie I made,
I'll show you, dad.
Anyway, so we're having this whole conversation and I was thinking about and processing the whole concept of reincarnation with him, and then subsequently like a conversation with my wife, and she like just put nailed it, and she was like, oh, mate, like I think reincarnation really is like he is reliving like his life experience through you. And then you're going to do the same through your son. Mm. And it's like that, it's like the incarnation is your kind of offspring. It's not necessarily you are going to be reborn. It's that you are passing down wisdom and then watching that in real time get reinterpreted and hopefully improved upon, like we were just talking about, in the next generation.
That is evolution. It's like evolution. It's both scientific and spiritual. Yeah.
And just framing it that way really kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. Because we are very literally rooted in the concept of reincarnation as being a real, our guess as to what's going on with the grand design of the world. And when I say our, I mean like, I guess those raised in the Hindu tradition.
Yeah, I wasn't raised in the Hindu tradition, but I do also believe that. And when somebody told me that, I was like, oh, somehow I already know that.
I feel like it kind of weirdly makes the most sense. It's like, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle, reincarnate. Like, it's like this is what, this is just what we do as humans, baby. We like turn lemon into lemonade. We like,
yeah,
to, you
it's
know,
very natural.
It's very natural.
Yeah, and it's hopeful. And I think even if it's not true, it's nice to think it. And it gives me peace of mind.
And you're still like, and there's still stakes and you're still involved. And like, that's the thing that I don't love about like the monotheistic, like, I'm just going to check into this like hotel in the sky after this thing. And we're all in like, where everything's perfect and it's just like unlimited orgasms, whatever it is. But like that to me is like, oh, so you're just you just get to check out of the whole system. Like you're not a part of the evolution of like what we're accomplishing together as a species. Like that's kind of a bummer.
Yes, you don't keep growing. I think part of what my reincarnation vision is that every time you come back, you get to learn the things you still have yet to learn. So actually your goal in this life is to heal and evolve and become better and to help. And that motivation is also self-serving because then you're closer to, I don't know, enlightenment or whatever else happens when you're done with all the reincarnating you can possibly do.
Right.
But I really do. I like this also idea of your dad's of like, I want to die in a specific way and have this kind of experience, because there are people, there are so many people who say that their like last words are, wow, or my husband and I actually went on a walk today. I've been gone for a long time and I came back and like got right into work. And then I was like, oh, right. Somebody told me that their therapist told them this and I love it, which is like, first take care of yourself, then take care of your relationship, then take care of your family. And by family, they meant kids, which is maybe different in these extenuating circumstances when people are sick and things like that. But I totally forgot to take care of myself or my relationship. So we went on a walk, a hike, and that's kind of how we take care of our relationships often. It's just long, long conversations. It's definitely our love language, hence why I need a podcast. But one of the things that came up was like, if we knew we were going to, I asked him, I'm like, if we knew one of us was going to die in a month, how would we want to spend the next month? And he was like, he kind of rephrased it in this beautiful way where he said, well, if we knew we were going to die, what would we wish we had not done or done for the past year? And the first thing that came up for both of us was fight. Like, we would look back at every fight we ever had and think about how stupid or selfish or defensive or petty or whatever it was that was a waste of our precious, ethereal, mystical, magical time together.
And even just the practical time together. I mean, the fact
that we're together is a miracle. And that's something that like we can only appreciate, honestly, like it feels like it's a thing that we would appreciate in retrospect, because sometimes it's so hard with all of the things happening in life to appreciate it in the moment. So that's why I feel like it is this like miracle of like, it's like seeing a flower blossom. You're like, what, nature did that? And we're not stopping to appreciate that. It's speaking of mushrooms is like,
it's something that we need to force the issue on, right?
Microdose to appreciate.
It's like you have the most precious thing in the world, but you're like like the coolest car on the planet, and then you're just like, yeah, but the window gets stuck every once in a while, you know, and you're just like, but you have every amazing feature that you could possibly imagine.
And it's not even the window gets stuck. It's like you have to put gas in it. It's like, well, all cars require you to put gas in it or recharge it or something.
Not at all. Yeah.
Not all.
The other thing that I had thought about or that sometimes frustrates me is in terms of like the goal that you were talking about, like, oh, it's a beautiful thing to like have a specific goal. Like sometimes I do think that the goal to like realize God, or at least like how the Hindu version of it is, can actually be kind of selfish, because it sort of is like, there's all this scripture around the different levels of samadhi states that you could, it's almost like a Tony Robbins seminar or something. I know you love Tony Robbins, so maybe that's not a good example, but like,
I have mixed feelings about Tony Robbins, so you can continue.
Like it's like kind of prescribing you with all these like things that you're supposed to do to achieve the thing. Mm. And I see in my dad, a person that gets really consumed in trying to do all the right things to make that happen. But in doing so, it removes him
from the present.
From the present. Yep. It pulls him out of the present. It pulls him out. I'm like, cause we had this whole conversation and I was like, Dad, do you think you've realized God yet? You know? And he's like, no, I definitely haven't. And I was like, Mom, do you think you've realized God? And she's like, no, I don't. And I was like, really? Okay. I do. And they're just like, oh, okay. And my dad just goes, well, good. Like he didn't really want to actually engage with what I meant by that. Cause I kind of feel like it's not about what you achieve and what you do and what you like go, like what levels of samadhi you hit. It's the opposite. It's like kind of what you let go of, what you surrender to, and what you opt to already to just accept before you is quote unquote God, the universe. I'm like, if you can't see God in your grandson's eyes, then like you'll never realize him. Like if that's not enough, then I don't know what you're looking for. You're looking for some, essentially to me, external validation for why you should exist. And it might just be enough. It might just be enough to look your grandson in the eye and be with him in that moment and share and mirror the absolute love and adoration he has for you without any ulterior motive or preconceived thing or distraction or whatever else you have going on, and just like be awash in that, in his gaze. Like that. Probably to me, I think is God. I don't know that it's going to be achieved by any other stuff. So that's been a point of contention for me with him.
How can you, it's kind of what you're saying is Byron Katie is this one of the many spiritual people that I listen to and read. And her philosophy is kind of what you said, which is loving what is. Letting go of what isn't and loving what is. And I kind of just want to point it back at you as you're looking at your father. How can you love what is? You're like the master of finding joy in things. How can you see this? And would you say, I wish?
Yeah.
I mean, I say that as like somebody who's known you for a really long time, that you can make a bit out of anything, that like things can be weird and you turn that weirdness into something funny and or into like an actual game. Just because I see you in this light, I want to ask you, how can you love what is as you're watching your father reflect on his life and his death?
I mean, I think I have to take my own medicine, right? And it's like so much about, it's so much about surrender. And that just can be really hard. I guess it's the whole lead a horse to water thing. You know, I can't just get him to come on board everything that I think is best for him, even if it means, quote unquote, saving his life. Like at some point, it's just about being there. And showing up and being awash in his loving gaze. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
And to the point that your wife made and you made is like, you are also the next incarnation of him.
That, yeah.
And you, in some ways, are actually taking the Hindu teachings and applying it in this more surrendered way.
Yeah, you're right. That is the best that I probably can do is in how I receive the torch and then reshape and pass it down.
I want you to not get stuck on this thing as like a thing to be frustrated with in your dad, because like you guys have had different ideas about so many things, and he's also still one of the funniest, coolest, weirdest, bravest, you know, most out of the box thinking person. So just, you know, how do you shine the spotlight on all of these other things about him that have always really inspired you and led you?
Yeah.
Even though his thoughts are so much about this one thing right now, you can see that and all of the other things about him.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good advice.
I also don't put it past him to live for another 25 years.
No, I don't either. he literally like is like, I'm going to live to 125. Like that's his like actual goal. So insane.
I love the idea of setting a goal.
Oh, totally.
Very Tony Robbins.
I told you, did I tell you? I feel like I might have said it on this podcast. He shared his will with us. And then the top of his will is this like paragraphs of stuff that doesn't belong in a will, but it's just a description of, like, it literally says in his will, like, I plan to live to 125. And I'm going to see Shiva. And he's going to tell me that, and like, it's the whole vision and da da da. And even, well, I'm just like reading the, it's so funny. And in like, there's this other whole section about how he like, he's like, I don't say I love you. I'm like, why is this in your will, Dad? But he's like, just keep reading. It's like, I don't say I love you. I don't like how we say I love you. I love you. Everybody says I love you. He's like, to me, love is about if I want to show up and stay at your house at any time, you let me in. That's love. And like, you took the time in your will to have an argument with us about how long you should be able to stay at our house.
And that's why I'm not leaving you, shit.
Oh God. So funny. Like we actually went to an estate attorney or whatever, and they like figured all this stuff. And like, unfortunately, my brother was there for most of that, but like the actual outcome, of course, it shed all of that stuff. And it was like this huge, long, hand-scrawled document that he did. And it was just like shrunk down to this like paragraph, you know, or like four bullet points, you know, and sanitized, so to speak. But I'm like, oh, but this is the will that I want to frame, is the one that my dad wrote and like drew all these weird little drawings on and stuff.
Yeah.
That's the one I'll bring to court when I take my brothers to
take them down. Yeah, you got to take down those other two legs of the stool when there's no one to sit on the stool. You know what I mean?
I'm getting the 350,000 mile Camry, not you. The one where literally it's like, not only does it not have power windows or roll down windows, you have to like hold the window with your hands and pull it down.
It takes manual to the next level.
Uh-huh. That's right. You gotta earn that breeze.
That's actually quite Indian. The earning of anything good.
That's right. Exactly.
Which brings us back to Amy.
Yeah. Well, it was a good episode.
How was it listening to Amy and her mom and seeing the similarities between your parents? Like, you know, I've joked that like immigrants from anywhere in the world are more like each other than they are to Americans. But if you can meet someone from the same country, there is so much unspoken sameness that it makes it incredibly familiar.
You mean like immigrants of the same country that they emigrated from?
Honestly, I think immigrants from anywhere. Like, I think you and me have more quick things in common than we do to Americans, because we
know
to Steve or to, like, actually maybe our partners sometimes, because we know what it is to have. We both married Americans, but, like, we white Americans who
white Americans
who don't do the third culture kid thing, who don't know what it is to, like, speak one language at home and another at school, or eat weirder food, or
all the code, like, switching, and
exactly, so many things about, like, having a culture that's in us that's not American. But
there were so many
things that Amy said about her mom working as a bank teller and the pressure she felt at school and all of those things, super familiar to me. But I imagine more so for you, because you were literally like, oh yeah, my mom cooked that and my mom worked there.
Yeah. And then it's the similarities, but it's also like, oh, really being able to empathize with the differences, like learning about her gluten-free thing and just being like, whoa, like that is something that I don't take very lightly. Like, I think it can be kind of like funny, or just like, oh, your biggest problem was that you're gluten-free. Like, you know
right
what
now,
I mean?
Like, these days, like, it doesn't sound like the biggest deal, but to not know what your kid is allergic to is terrifying.
Totally. And like, when you're six and like I said, it's like even beyond the allergy thing, it's like this culturally significant thing that, like, really spreads a sense of identity and self and all the ways in which you find joy, like that Indian moms make with their hands, these like tortillas to their offspring and to their offspring's offspring, is like really beautiful. And to like be removed from that piece, I think that's the thing that I was like, oh wow, yeah, I didn't even think of how that must have been really, really challenging when you are. Because there are the moments when you're not in the dominant culture, and then you go to like temple or something like that, where you're suddenly now you're not the minority in this room or this building, but then you're still separated in that way where everyone's chowing on the same thing and loving it, and then you can't do that either. Like, must really feel alienating in a whole different level, you know?
Well, that could either make you a supervillain, or make you a person who starts organizations that make women who can't have children deal with their fertility in magical ways.
Yeah.
Like, it could, the pendulum could swing anyway.
It's true. Yeah, you can use the power for good or for ill. and clearly, it's cool. Yeah, it's super inspiring to hear Amy's story, how she really is using it for forces for good.
I love the shit out of you, Sandeep. I am so grateful that I have this time with you. I also really love your dad and your mom.
Yeah.
And
they love you.
Even though they won't say it.
They won't say it, but it's probably more true of you that if my dad shows up at your doorstep, you'll probably let him in than it would be here. Or my wife would be like, what, didn't you call first? You'd eventually let him in, but it'd be grilled.
I'd be like, it's a mess. I hope you like mess.
Well, I love this. Thanks for this. Lovely.
You're the best. And for all of our listeners, my name is Milana Weintraub. This guy over here is Sandeep Parikh, and we host a weekly pod. Is it weekly?
It is.
We host a podcast called Your Mom is a Podcast, where we interview people and their moms to try to figure out how they got that way. And one of the things that was actually really beautiful about the Amy episode that I forgot to mention is that we kind of gently brought this thing up, but I want to keep talking about it in this episode and every episode going forward, which is that maybe the hypothesis of our podcast is proven false, that like maybe we're not entirely who we are because of our moms, and that can take a load off of us as parents, like that we are kind of repeating a lot of our generational shit. We're trying to make it slightly better. We're trying to not like yell at our kid in the same way, or hit our kid, or put pressure on them, or whatever it is, right? But ultimately, sometimes people become who they are not because of their mom. Sometimes they become who they are despite their mom. Sometimes they become who they are because they read a book in college that taught them how to XYZ, and now they are a better person or a worse person because of that. So just to say that as a podcast that talks about parenting and family and trauma and dynamics and psychology and how to be better at this, there's almost something that takes the pressure off of it to know that amazing people come from all sorts of different kinds of parents and that we don't need to be perfect.
I have nothing to add. That's perfect. That's perfect.
Good night, America. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe on all the places. Comments help. And follow us on Instagram at Your Mom is a Podcast.
Your Mom is a Podcast is hosted by Milana Weintraub and Sandeep Parikh. It is executive produced by Milana Weintraub, Sandeep Parikh, and Stephen Hine. Editing and sound design is by Sean Marr. Music by Matt Friedman. This podcast comes from Effin' Funny Productions and Story Mill Media. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok at Your Mom is a Podcast.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.